In order to know who we are, to have an identity, we must know, or at least feel that we know, what is and what was real. We must observe what we see around us and label it correctly. We must also be able to trust our memories and be able to tell them apart from our imagination. Losing the ability to make these distinctions is one sign of what psychoanalyst William Nederland called soul murder. Erasing awareness and cultivating denial are often essential to survival, but the price is that you lose track of who you are, of what you are feeling, of what and whom you can trust. Replaying the trauma. One memory of Marilyn's childhood trauma came to her in a dream in which she felt she was being choked and was unable to breathe. A white tea towel was wrapped around her hands, and then she was lifted up with a towel around her neck so that she could not touch the ground with her feet. She woke in a panic, thinking that she was surely going to die. Her dream reminded me of the nightmares war veterans had reported to me, seeing the precise, unadulterated images of faces and body parts they had encountered in battle. These dreams were so terrifying that they tried not to fall asleep at night. Only daytime napping, which was not associated with nocturnal ambushes, felt halfway safe. During this stage of therapy, Marilyn was repeatedly flooded with images and sensations related to the choking dream. She remembered sitting in the kitchen as a 4-year-old with swollen eyes, a sore neck, and a bloody nose, while her father and brother laughed at her and called her stupid, stupid girl. One day, Marilyn reported, "I was brushing my teeth last evening. I was overcome with feelings of thrashing around. I was like a fish out of water, violently turning my body as I fought against the lack of air. I sobbed and choked as I brushed my teeth. Panic was rising out of my chest with the feeling of thrashing. I had to use every bit of strength I had not to scream, 'No, no, 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 no,' as I stood over the sink." She went to bed and fell asleep, but woke up like clockwork every 2 hours during the rest of the night. Trauma is not stored as a narrative with an orderly beginning, middle, and end. As I'll discuss in detail in chapters 11 and 12, memories initially return as they did for Marilyn, as flashbacks that contain fragments of the experience, isolated images, sounds, and body sensations that initially have no context other than fear and panic. When Marilyn was a child, she had no way of giving voice to the unspeakable, and it would have made no difference anyway. Nobody was listening. Like so many survivors of childhood abuse, Marilyn exemplified the power of the life force, the will to live and to own one's life, the energy that counteracts the annihilation of trauma. I gradually came to realize that the only thing that makes it possible to do the work of healing trauma is awe at the dedication to survival that enabled my patients to endure their abuse and then to endure the dark nights of the soul that inevitably occur on the road to recovery.